and the earth was fine, and we think the colors are real good. Everybody's real pleased with the operation of the camera, over.
Okay, real good. And the main thing, too, I'm hoping that from the resolution that we have on the device, that when we get around the moon tomorrow, we should show you some real good terrain features with the resolution we have at the instrument.
But we're looking forward to that. We think we'll be in pretty good shape. And we'll come up with a PTC time for you momentarily.
Charlie, were the pictures that we shot over Straits of Gibraltar and the ones where we picked up South and North America over the in the whole Atlantic through Madrid, did they get played back to you?
We haven't seen them yet. The ones from Madrid will take 30 hours for us to get those. The Goldstone, we're going to play back shortly then.
Okay, I guess we're at about the distance where the resolution of the camera doesn't really give you a chance to look at the Earth too closely. So I guess we're probably wait till we get on back to get any good Earth pictures.
Roger, the colors are still brilliant, but the resolution is fairly marginal now. You really have to have a map in front of you to pick out what you're describing. Hello, Apollo 10, Houston. You can initiate the PTC at your convenience with the same procedure as utilized last night. Over.
Okay, we're going to go ahead now and start to pick it up.
This is Apollo Control at 54 hours, 8 minutes. That TV transmission that was recorded at Goldstone several hours ago will be transmitted to Houston and released at 6 p.m. Central Daylight Time, about 2 minutes from now. Duration is 4 minutes 47 seconds. While we are feeding that playback of the television, we will record any live audio transmissions from the spacecraft and play those back after the television transmission.
They were one mission too soon for that one.
Roger.
Can you pick out the Amazon River? Roger, can you pick out the Amazon River?
I can't pick out the Amazon. I'm looking at it with my naked eye where Gene had the 28-bar binocular. I do have the zoom on here, so you're seeing it a little bit bigger than we are on a standard vision. So the Earth, as you see it there, is bigger. And you can see the Terminator, or nighttime, has moved over most of Africa at this time, and is starting to move over to Europe. It'll soon be nighttime in Spain. And also, it's getting daylight over in Hawaii in there. So the cloud patterns are utterly fantastic as we look out at it.
Roger, Dan, we copy. How about up around the clouds I asked you about earlier, up around the Bering Strait? Is it daylight over there yet?
They're just starting to come into view, and when we have our program TV pass through Goldstone, we should be able to take a look at that cloud frontal situation. It was a beautiful swirl yesterday.
Roger.
But it's also amazing how some of the clouds look pure white, and the other ones look more of a brownish white, kind of a dirty white. Again, if you look, you can see by Mauritania going over to Brazil, the always pictured in our weather maps. It is just a straight line right around the Earth. It's really beautiful with occasional outcroppings of cumulus clouds.
Roger, where are the brownish clouds located? Over the deserts or just where, Tom?
Right now, the brownish clouds are over the tropical rainforest and the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
Tropical rainforest in Brazil.
Roger, copy.
We're about to lose you out our window.
We'll stand by. Goldstone and Madrid were both recording the TV. Got good signals both places.
Okay.
We'll stand by till you come out through the hatch window.
Okay, as we say adios, they disappeared behind our hatch window now. We'll see you later.
Roger.
Got it.
Minutes. Apollo 10 is 176,221 miles from Earth. Its velocity is 3,377 feet per second. We're getting ready for a change of shift here in the control center. Shifts will change at 6:30 Central Daylight Time. We're estimating the change of shift news briefing for 7 p.m. We have about 40 seconds worth of tape accumulated during the feed of the television from Goldstone. We'll play that for you now.
Houston, this is Apollo 10. Is that procedure still good for today? When we disable the C&D jets, do we disable the C&D, the C-roll jets also?
Stand by. That's affirmative. 10, we want you to disable all jets on quads C&D.
Roger, they're disabled.
Copy.
Okay, the clock has started, and after 20 minutes, we'll go ahead and start the part of the procedure.
Roger. Ten, we'd like you to disable a BD roll and have a AC roll on. Okay, we're in good shape. Excuse me.
Sir.
safety mode, and it looks good.
Roger, 10. We're observing your roll rate, and we'll be looking at it, and be with you shortly.
Roger.
And Houston, how do you want me to handle the antenna? Do you want me to switch to Omni Bravo at this time, or wait?
Stand by. We'll have some word on that. We would like you to discontinue battery 8 charging now.
Okay.
The shifts are changing in the control center now. Apollo 10 is 177,149 nautical miles from the Earth, traveling at a velocity of 3,359 feet per second. We're estimating the change of shift news conference for 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time.
That's a firm. We'd like for you to go Omni Bravo and hygiene antenna to manual, please.
Okay, Giuseppe, will do.
Okay, 10, this is Houston. We'll be taking over control of the antenna now, and flight advises it looks like your PTC, you've got it set up as good or better than it was last night when you had it, when you went 18 hours there without another thruster firing.
Okay, 10, Joe, understand. Thank you.
Flight of Apollo 10. Flight Director Milton Windler has reviewed the status of the mission up to this point with his flight controllers and finds everything virtually nominal at this time. The spacecraft presently 177,500 nautical miles from Earth and our velocity 3,352 feet per second. At the present time, the Apollo 10 crew is involved in setting up the passive thermal control mode that they will maintain throughout their sleep period. Last night, the mode used was to rotate the spacecraft at a rate of 3 revolutions per hour. We found this very satisfactory. I experienced none of the thruster firing during the passive thermal control mode that interfered with the crew's sleep the previous night. 5 minutes. We anticipate the change of shift press conference will be beginning shortly in Building 1. We will continue to tape any conversation with the spacecraft and play it back following the change of shift press briefing. At this time, Apollo 10 is 177,795 nautical miles from Earth, and the velocity is 3,347 feet per second. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
For tomorrow's activities, and I can go over those with you if you have questions about it. But I would like to begin with this announcement. Dr. Berry has asked the flight director to schedule a private conversation with the astronauts at 8 p.m. tonight. That's local time. Dr. Berry said he wished to query the three astronauts about the general condition of their health, and he emphasized that his request was prompted by a desire for an uninhibited discussion with the astronauts about their general condition prior to LEM activities. The crew members have said nothing to indicate that they felt any of the discomforts experienced by astronauts on some of the earlier Apollo flights. Now, a summary of the private conversation will be released by the Public Affairs Office as soon as possible after the conversation ends. And Dr. Berry himself will be available to brief the press as soon as mission requirements allow him to leave the control center. And I suspect that that'll be on the order of about 9 p.m. local. That may vary a little way, one way or the other. But that is the announcement, and with that, I'll go ahead and tell you about what we did today. I guess one of the things that we look for in this mission, we pretty well proved today that there is a very inexpensive way to do passive thermal control. We established a PTC mode last night, and this held throughout most of the day. Right toward the very end of the day, we did come out of it to do some work in attitude. But as we came on shift this morning, this PTC mode was still continuing to work very well. In fact, we hadn't fired a thruster on the spacecraft since establishing that mode earlier the previous night. The flight plan today was pretty much as scheduled nominally, and I'm sure that most of you have heard the or have read the air-to-ground transmissions. I don't think I really have too much to comment on, with maybe very few exceptions. We did have some luck this morning. John Young did do a P-52, a realignment of the platform. Pardon me, without coming out of the PTC mode. He did this while he was rotating, and John said that it was a very easy thing to do, that the optics seemed to track very well in auto optics, and that he could manually slew the optics and keep them on the stars very easily, much easier than he could in the simulator. He also said that the LEM occlusion of the stars was not as bad as he had been led to believe by looking at the simulator. I think Charlie at that time said, asked him to draw up some little sketches of what he could see so that maybe we can update the trainers here on the ground with that exactly what you can see when you've got the limb on the front of the CSM. Another interesting thing that Tom reported that I'll comment on, and that he said that even without firing thrusters, that the whole stack as it was rotating seemed to have its own little motions now and then. He could hear noises and a slight shudder now and then. The Apollo 9 crew also reported that same phenomena, and I assume it is in the dynamics of the structure, etc., as it rotates and wibulates, and found that to be pretty interesting. Tom summarized that and I guess you heard a lot about this on the afternoon TV pass, the scheduled one, that as far as he was concerned, the only thing out of the ordinary that he had noticed was the gas in the water, which we still don't have a real good handle on how to get that out of there yet. And he also reiterated what he mentioned yesterday, was that when they pressurized the limb, that the mylar insulation had blown off the tunnel hatch, or at least part of it had. And as far as he was concerned, that was the only two things that he had noticed out of the ordinary. We also spent some of today, since it was a slow day, both on the ground and the crew in the spacecraft, reviewing what we're going to do in the next 2 days, which are going to be pretty busy. Charlie talked to the crew quite a lot about our LOI abort cues for tomorrow. In other words, what we have to see in order to abort. We went over some mission rules with the crew. And then the crew, we let them alone for 2 or 3 hours there, and they actually did some studying on their own, going over procedures for tomorrow and for the rendezvous day. We did get a couple of unscheduled TV passes in. One of those we've already played back from Goldstone, and I understand that the tape from Madrid will be flown in here and will be available sometime tomorrow night. Incidentally, from the time we established PTC last night until the time the first thruster fired, indicating that we had finally hit a dead band, was 21 hours and 17 minutes. So we went almost a complete 24-hour day without firing any thrusters after we once established that roll rate. And incidentally, that same procedure was established just prior to the time we left the control center, and it looked like that it had been established very well once again, very tight control about the 90-degree pitch plane. 21 hours and 17 minutes. Okay, and other than that, we did the TV pass, and that's the scheduled one that you saw, and I think that's about it. Charlie, do you have anything to add?
Not too much to add. I just think it was a real relaxed day for everybody. John did some real fine work with the optics during the PTC mode and the P-52. As Jerry's commented, he didn't have any trouble at all tracking. We also did a trunnion calibration, a trunnion bias calibration this afternoon. This is in case we lose communications and the spacecraft has to return without contact with the ground. He does his own navigation. This came out very well also. We have very minor problems right now. We hope we continue that way. If, as Tom said, if all we have to worry about is water in the or air in the water, then we're going to have a great flight. I guess we're ready for questions.
Yeah, let me make a couple of announcements. Immediately following this news conference, a couple of gentlemen from the Mission Planning and Analysis Division will be here to answer any questions you might have on the lunar sphere of influence, which I understand causes quite a bit of... And one other statement, having nothing to do with Apollo 10, but apparently there's been some interest in it. No crew selections have been made beyond Apollo 12. There are a number of plans being considered for optional missions and flight crews dependent upon the outcome of Apollos 10 and 11. Shepard, Roussa, and Mitchell are candidates for future Apollo flights, possibly as a crew. Now we'll go to questions on Apollo 10. Carl Abraham.
I had asked this afternoon if you could bring with you the latest numbers on times, initial velocities, lengths of burns, and subsequent velocities, starting with the velocity before LOI-1 and ending up with the velocity after LOI-2 and the orbital periods and all that jazz. Do you have that with you by any chance?
Well, I've got a whole list here, and you mentioned a couple of the things I don't think I have, but you want me to just kind of go through these?
Why don't you go over the whole thing?
And then what we don't have, we can get for you and fill in. Our current planning right now, incidentally, for tomorrow, is that we will probably not do MCC-4. That possibility does exist that we will, but all indications are right now, and our tracking's pretty well solid now, that I don't think we'll do MCC-4, and we will be able to end up with, after LOI-1, with exactly the nominal orbit we were shooting for, 60 by 170, and then 60 circular after LOI-2 with no additional corrections required prior to that time. The LOS time, let me start here. This is when we're going to go behind the moon the first time, prior to LOI-1, and I'll give this to you in ground elapsed time, is 75 hours, 48 minutes, 21 seconds. And this will probably be updated by a few seconds tomorrow. The ground elapsed time of ignition for the LOI-1 burn is 75 hours, 55 minutes, and 57 seconds. So that's about on the order of 7 minutes later. The delta V of the LOI-1 burn is 2,982 feet per second, 2,982. The burn time is 5 minutes, 53.8 seconds. I can give you the attitude for this burn is retrograde, pitched up 22 degrees. Now, we will acquire after LOI-1 at 76 hours, 22 minutes, and 45 seconds. 76 hours, 22 minutes, 45 seconds. If the LOI burn were not to be done, the acquisition time would be approximately 10 minutes earlier, and the exact time is 76, 12, 21. Okay, we'll come around the front side of the moon, and we'll have loss of signal prior to LOI 2 at 79, 55, 46. The ignition time for LOI 2 will be 80, 22, 34. The delta V for LOI 2 is 138.5 feet per second. And the burn time is 13.8 seconds. Now the LOI 2 attitude is retrograde once again, pitched up 10 degrees. Then we will acquire after LOI 2 at 80 hours, 40 minutes,